is the Writer's Almanac for Saturday. It's the 1st of October, 2011. It's the birthday of the man who almost but not quite invented the phonograph, Charles Crowe, born 1842, Southern France, 1877, told the Academy of Science in Paris he had invented something called the paleophone. He never patented it, and Thomas Edison was right on his heels with his own invention, the phonograph. It's the birthday of the novelist, short story writer Ernest Haycox, born in Portland, Oregon, 1899, probably best known for his story Stage to Lordsburg, which became the movie Stagecoach, starring John Wayne, and Alder Gulch, which became the Jimmy Stewart film The Far Country. Haycox, in his youth, spent time around logging camps and ranches, small towns of the American West. His parents separated when he was just a boy, grew up with various relatives. By the age of 14, he'd worked as a delivery boy, bellhop, dishwasher, and peanut seller. Served in France during World War I, went up to Alaska, worked as a commercial fisherman up there, saved money, went to college, went to Reed College in Eugene, majored in journalism so he could become a writer. His first novel, Free Grass, came out in 1929. Like many of his books, it was in the Zane Grey style, a Western, white male heroes, virtuous heroines, nasty villains. He wrote about stampedes, gold rushes, feuds, saloon brawls, Indian soldiers, and so forth, producing a novel a year, many of which appeared as stories in the Saturday Evening Post. Gertrude Stein and Ernest Hemingway were both fans of the work of Ernest Haycox, who every day of the work week would get up, put on a suit, go to his office in downtown Portland, write all morning, and then edit and read all afternoon. Here's a poem for today by William Matthews, A Night at the Opera. The tenor's too fat, the beautiful young woman complains, and the soprano's dowdy and old. But what if Otello's not black, if Rigoletto's hump lists, if Erigilda and her entourage of flesh outweigh the cello section? In fairy tales, the prince has a good heart, and so, as an outward invisible sign of an inward invisible grace, his face is not creased, nor are his limbs gnarled. Our tenor holds in his liver-spotted hands the soprano's broad, burgeoning face. Their combined age is 97. Their spittle in both pinches of her mouth. A vein in his temple twitches like a worm. Their faces are a foot apart. His eyes widen with fear as he climbs to the high B-flat he'll have to hit and hold for 5 dire seconds, and then they'll stay in their stalled hug for as long as we applaud. Franco Corelli once bit Birgit Nilsson's ear in just such a command embrace because he felt she'd upstaged him. Their costumes weigh 15 pounds apiece. They're poached in sweat and smell like fermenting pigs. Their voices rise and twine, not from beauty nor from the lack of it, but from the hope for accuracy and passion both. They have to hit the note and the emotion both with the one poor arrow of the voice. Beauties for amateurs. A Night at the Opera, poem by William Matthews, from Search Party, collected poems published by Houghton Mifflin and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can follow them on Twitter at @PoetryFound. And by Constant Contact, helping small businesses use email marketing with social media to reach more customers in more places, online at ConstantContact.com. Engineered by Noah Smith, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.